Hello, it's time for Marlena.
That's Marlena. It's Marlena, and she'll be taking all your calls and comments for the next 2 hours.
So, why not call her and share your opinions and thoughts? It's easy. Just dial 866-666-7926.
Marlena's program is a great way to share thoughts and ideas and meet new friends. I mean, everybody who's anybody will be there. I'm Paul, who are you?
I'm Reed, nice to meet you.
I'm Paul, no matter what that other guy says.
Now just a darn minute, I was doing perfectly well as Paul until you came along. You're a newbie, sit down and be quiet, you Paul wannabe, you.
Now listen you guys, our listeners haven't tuned in to hear two crazy humanoids named Paul bicker. This is Kate saying let's just all take a seat and listen to the cool callers and interesting topics coming up for the next 2 hours right here on Marlena. Give us a call at 866-666-7926. And now, here's Marlena.
Oh boy, those crazy people, I tell you what, you guys haven't told me whether you like that introduction or you hate it or what. Whatever. Anyway, welcome to Marlena. It's Sunday night, November the 13th in North America, Monday morning, November the 14th in UTC land and beyond. And so if you're listening to this program at any other time than 8 to 9 Eastern on a Sunday night or 1 to 2 Monday morning Universal, it's a replay, so put your feet up and enjoy the listen. I'm excited about tonight's show, not only because I believe that we will get some good information, but because I get to spend some time with a good friend. Debbie Hazelton, welcome back to Marlena.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. And I love the intro. I think that's so creative and all those voices, all those people. I mean, boy, what nerve.
Well, I know it. And those two Pauls, man, they go at it, you know. And one was doing perfectly well as Paul, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I'm delighted that you were able to come back. Of course, you visited us way back when we talked, I think, about massage therapy.
Yes, we did. Yeah. And Reiki a lot. A lot of people wanted to talk about Reiki.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm leaving the field open tonight to, and I sort of generally advertised it as, time to talk about some alternative healing strategies, thoughts, and perceptions. But before we get into all of that, I often forget, I guess because you're my friend and I just don't think about these things, but I often forget that you actually have written two books.
Yes, I have. It was, I guess I want to say, it was a previous incarnation in this life. It seems like that. It was so long ago. But back in 90 and 91, the first book was The Courage to See, a book of daily affirmations, something to read for each day of the year. And the second one, Solving the Self-Esteem Puzzle, a self-esteem building workbook. And so you can see by those kinds of titles that even back then I was very much into personal growth and, you know, kind of a form of healing, helping people to feel better.
What exactly is personal growth?
Ah, it's a good question. I think that it is some kind of way of making sense of our lives and learning to take charge of our lives and at other times when to let go, but learning to get into our lives in a way where we grow in ourselves, in our awareness of ourselves, grow in awareness of how we are in relationships and what we experience in them, and grow in terms of how we experience a sense of purpose or meaning, and whether or not that includes something on a spiritual level, maybe or maybe not necessarily religion.
Hmm.
That's what I would say.
What does blindness complicate this journey?
Oh, I think yes. I think it complicates and maybe in some way enhances. I think it challenges us to work even harder at things like self-esteem and sorting out situations to know what is our stuff and what is the stuff of the world or other people, particularly the ignorance and fear of other people, and how not to take that in so much, and or if we have taken it in, which, I mean, I know I have, and I think most of us have to one degree or another, how to sort of sort and sift that out and pull ourselves up and feel better, and how to go find the support that we need so that we, don't let that pull us down, and how to have the independence and, you know, find the confidence to do the things, the daily living skills and way beyond that. For a fulfilling life. I mean, those are some of the things. Then when you add in medical, I mean, there are a lot of medical complications that a lot of us who are blind have in one way or another. I mean, some do, and some have had many surgeries, and there are lots of issues to deal with that in terms of relationship issues, and how does it feel to get handled so much, and where are boundaries, and where is that sense of privacy and dignity and all of that? I mean, I think there are many issues.
Yeah, and I mean, we get physically handled. I mean, not just emotional. I mean, I had a lady pull me by my poncho the other day so that I would follow her.
Yeah, and I've done a lot of work in the area of sexual abuse, and I think that all of those on my podcast, one of them that's getting uploaded, or it's uploaded, but the feed needs to get put in there. Anyway, it's getting that done tonight.
It's going to get born.
Yeah, it's going to get born before 2:30 in the morning this time.
Debbie and I were giving birth together last night to her podcast, yes.
But that particular one is a sexologist. And I think there are many issues about sexuality and where blindness and sexuality all can get very complicated. Not that it takes eyesight to have sex, but
we can prove that it doesn't, right?
Yeah. But certainly in terms of, you know, how does it feel? I did a workshop once, and there was a woman who... She wasn't blind, but she had some kind of another physical disability, and she said that her therapist used to say that it appeared that she had been raped because she was so sensitive to a lot of issues regarding touch and intimacy and any kind of interaction with people on a emotional level, and it turned out that she had had a lot of surgeries and she had been handled a lot.
Hmm.
So I think there's a lot to that.
Interesting.
I mean, that I just think that's another loaded topic.
Yeah, actually, it's a show that I'm trying to formulate based upon a listener request, actually, but more in the guise of younger blind people who are being solicited in high school, and how do you deal with that whole thing? So we may be...
Well, interesting. I've done workshops. I developed an activity to use in training. It's not your typical sensitivity training, but I often went to different places that used in-service training and also in classes, college classes, and where people wanted some kind of sensitivity training, I would do this activity, and it's a series of headbands, and people don't see what one is being put on them, and so they see the ones that are on the other people in the group, and they mill around, and they do to each other what these headbands say, and meanwhile, they have a lot of stuff being done to them. And there are things like, you know, wipe something off the front of me, ask the person near me how I am today,
ask me if I'm all right. Yeah.
And then I have them sit down and not take them off. And they're usually so embarrassed to do that. They're freaked out. You know, they can't believe that they are all being seen with these ridiculous things on them. And I say, well, first of all, I say, no, we're going to go to the mall and you're going to walk around like that. And then I say, well, imagine what it would be like to wear a label that people are invading you about, whether it's convenient for you or not.
Yeah.
And what would it be like if this happened to you all the time? And what would it be like if a series of these happened to you? And a lot of times, you know, some of them will say, well, you know, it was really weird. People were coming up to me and constantly asking me if I was all right. And I said, well, how were you before you did this? And they'll usually say, well, I was fine. Well, then I began to wonder. You know? So I talk a little bit about the statements that we take in that people say to us. And I think statements that are said to each other and the statements we make to ourselves are just, you know, hugely important in our own healing.
Well, in addition to, and we're going to open the lines here very, very shortly, but I want to give people a sense of who you are in the event that they don't know you, although I don't know how that could not be, since you are also frequently on Tuesday Topics, and of course that's aired on ACB Radio, and quite a lively participant therein.
Yes, indeed.
Indeed you are. That's our Debbie. But but in addition to your work and your passion for alternative healing and alternative health strategies, personal growth, etc., you also are an ordained minister.
Yes, I am.
Tell me about that.
Well, for years I knew that I wanted to be able to address the spiritual aspects with people when it would come up, particularly in counseling. I knew that I wasn't just a mental health counselor. Even when I taught psychology several different times at colleges over the years, and I knew that I was not really wanting to talk about the scientific aspect of all that, and really wanted to be able to talk with people about how they find and experience meaning. And I knew that for me, that's always been spiritual, but not traditionally religious. And so I kept looking around and finally found a place where I could be ordained, where it was not going to be just a mail order kind of thing, but where I could be ordained and have a supportive experience with that, where people would recognize and help strengthen the qualities of what I would bring and what each of the people who are applying for ordination bring. And so I love it. And when I got ordained, I had tears running down my face the whole time. It meant so much to me. I have used it in counseling. I've used it in hospice work. I've done a lot of, I've done some ceremonies, some weddings and baptism and things like that, but also some memorial kinds of services where I've spoken, and Sunday services in churches. And then I sing. I end up singing a lot. I sang actually before I was ordained, but I have sung so much in church kinds of settings that I feel like my music is also a part of a sense of ministry. And the healing work that I do, the hands-on healing, or, you know, just being present with people. I really think it comes down to some real simple kindness, being there, being available kinds of things.
It all ties in, doesn't it?
Yeah.
We've opened the lines. The telephone number to call is 866-666-7926. Gary, the board guy, says that the lines are open. So if you want to get on board here with Debbie Hazelton and Marlena, that's the number to call to do that. We'll be with you until the top of the hour or beyond. We're pretty loose around here. And then whatever time is remaining after that, we will go into open forum and you can talk about whatever you like. We do ask that you only call once an hour, though we know we have some folks who love to call, and we love to have you call, but want to make sure everybody gets in who can. So let's talk a bit about hands-on healing. Now, that has a lot of connotations to it that some of us as blind people may not like. You know, we've certainly had people come up to us, many of us, and say, you know, oh, let me pray for you here. And we had it happen in a liquor store. I said, you're in the way of the vodka.
Oh, boy.
So let's talk about what you mean by hands-on healing.
Well, it's interesting, too, because, yeah, I mean, I have had people that have come up to me and tried, and I have said to them, well, what makes you think there's something wrong with me?
Exactly. Honey, this is the way God made me now.
Exactly.
Are you questioning what he or she did?
You know, if they say, well, you know, but, you know, you can't see, and I'll say, well, that's what you think. Vision is in the mind.
That's right.
That's what I see, you know, and that's where you see, too, I'll tell them. And, you know, but I know one night I went to a psychic group kind of thing, and we could fill out something that we wanted for healing, and I had a wart that I was trying to get rid of on one of my little toes. And I said that, and I was serious about it, and people laughed at me, like, what do you mean? You should be wanting to see.
But being blind doesn't bother me. This wart does.
Yeah.
Hey, we've got a call. Let's
Good.
Let's bring him in. Hi,
okay.
There. You are with Debbie and Marlena. Who's this?
This is Ron from Kent, Washington.
Hello, Ron. How are you today?
Oh, I'm
Hi,
doing
Ron.
Fine.
Ron, meet Debbie.
Yeah, glad
Hi.
To meet you, Debbie.
How are you? Good.
Where are you based out of?
I'm in Florida.
What? Florida?
I'm in Florida.
Yeah, well, I want to ask a question. There's one form about alternative healing. How does biofeedback work?
Well, I think biofeedback definitely is a form of it. I mean, because really what biofeedback is learning to listen to our own biological kinds of sensations and learning to gain control so that we can get ourselves into a deeper sense of relaxation. Interestingly enough, back when I was in college, I got hooked up to some biofeedback equipment, and even when I was talking and laughing, I was always in alpha, which is the state that you're in when you're meditating. And when I really went into meditation, then I went down to theta, which is before sleep.
Now, what do those things mean, like alpha? What does that mean? You're wide awake or what?
It's supposed to be, I have not really studied a lot about it, but it's supposed to be the state that your body is in when you're in more of a meditative state.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Now, and Ron, you're working with some health challenges, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
So has someone recommended biofeedback to you?
Not yet, but I've heard about it. I've heard about other things, too, but you know, and I gotta watch it because I will be getting a liver transplant.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure when, but I'm on the list for it.
Well, I don't think biofeedback would hurt you in any way. I would think it would help, and any form of meditation or calming.
Yeah,
there's lots of nice music out there. New age kind of music, and, you know, I would say finding what you like, listening to a fountain, but, you know, calming and slowing your thoughts.
Uh-huh.
and even kind
like
of putting
would
them...
Would you do this by yourself, or what?
You could do it with someone. You could find a practitioner. You could find a group. Sometimes meditating in a group is wonderful.
Yeah. You know, like, how would I go for the find out the about these support groups? Just
I would call. You could call around. You could call different kinds of.
You know, Ron, one thing you might do is get the number, because you're in the Seattle area. So here's a lead for you. Uajamaya. Yeah, I would give them a call.
Yeah.
And ask them if they are aware of any groups in your area, in the Kent area, that does meditation or biofeedback kinds of things. Uajamaya is pretty community oriented, and they might be able to help you.
Okay.
Now, don't ask me how to spell that. So
no.
Because I don't know how to spell it.
But there's all kinds of alternative healing, isn't there?
Yeah.
I listen to their Pregnant of Wisdom channel on my computer, and I...
Oh, nice.
What?
Nice. I like the Wisdom channel.
Yeah.
I used to have that on my dish net.
On your what net?
My satellite dish.
Oh, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I can get it on the computer. On the computer, I can get it about half the time.
Wonderful.
I mean, that's the server's down sometimes.
Yeah,
you know, and,
yeah.
But I like that, and I think I'll, you know, I've heard about the biofeedback, and I heard it was pretty good.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. Anything that you can do to feel peaceful, I would, you know, really encourage. If you have any forgiveness work to do, if you can find some ways to laugh and have some joy and, you know, just find that peace and revel in it.
All right. I hope that helps, Ron.
I think it does. Well.
All right.
Thanks. I was the first one in tonight.
You did a great job.
Thank you.
Thanks,
all the best, Ron.
Bye-bye.
866-666-7926. People struggling with waiting for things like liver transplants and any kind of, you know, organ, kidney transplant. I mean, that there's a reasonably high number of folks in our community in that position, wouldn't you think, because of the diabetes and the...
Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think one thing that, when back to kind of segue this into the hands-on healing that you asked about earlier, I think that Sylvia Hartman, who is the material I've been reading lately, she says, you know, we only use 5% of our brain, and she thinks that the rest of it is meant for us to use to be healing ourselves and helping to heal each other. And before I ever studied any hands-on healing, I had an experience where I was living alone, I was in college, and I was making yogurt. And you have to scald milk to make yogurt.
Yeah.
And scalding is so weird because it's kind of like catching it at the calm before the storm. It's before it starts to bubble. If it bubbles, it's too late. It's at a boil. So you have to catch it. And with milk, it's not going to make the same sound when it does come to a boil as water does. And with milk, it's going to go flying.
So
I was making yogurt, and I didn't catch it at the scalding point. And I went to pick up this Dutch oven off of the burner and move it to a burner that wasn't on and that wasn't hot, and that milk went flying onto my hands.
Mm.
And so I immediately tried to get them into cold water, but I was in agony. And a friend of mine, quote unquote, coincidentally stopped by right at that moment and took me to the campus infirmary. I lived off campus, but she took me to the campus infirmary, and they bandaged my hands. And when they did that, and they're my from fingertips to wrist, and when they did that, I thought, you know, this is what it would be like for somebody to become totally disabled suddenly, because suddenly I couldn't use my hands, and I felt like, I mean, in shock. This was just a real sudden thing to happen. And it gave me a glimpse into, because I didn't go blind suddenly as an adult. I went, you know, I was that way since a child. So they said they were going to keep me that night, and they put me to bed. And when I went to sleep, I had this idea that came to me to imagine that as I exhaled, that the pain was coming out of my fingertips. So I started breathing like that, just imagining that each time I exhaled, the pain was coming out of my fingertips. And I went to sleep, and the next morning, they took off my bandages, and I only had a couple of blisters.
Wow,
and
that's amazing.
I just knew that I had something special happen. And, of course, I've forgotten at times when I've been dealing with my own human stuff, but I've also had it really help me at other times. And I think the Reiki that I took was just a structure. It was just a word and a structure to use, to talk about and do healing. But I really think that a lot of us have that gift. And I encourage people more these days, after reading some of Sylvia Hartman, to put your hands on whatever's hurting. Just put your hands there and keep breathing and just be still and calm and allow yourself to just give that gift of your own energy and allow that source within you to feed you some positive energy so that you can receive that and maybe find some healing, find some comfort. When I say healing, I don't necessarily mean cure. It may mean cure, but it may mostly mean balance. And balance may not look the same way in the outer world as it may be in the energy or in an inner world. Mm-hmm. But if it happens that it also means cure, then that's wonderful.
By the way, I have to ask you, are you on a battery phone?
I am on a...
It sounds like it's going to go away.
Does it?
Yeah.
Really? No, it is a battery phone, but you're sounding really strong. I will go and swap phones.
Oh, I hate to ask you to do that, but yes, you're sounding clicky.
Am I?
We need to put some hands on your phone.
Well, I'm not on a speaker phone. I mean, I am holding the phone.
Yeah. Hold the phone, as it were. Hold the phone. Well,
do I sound like, am I fading?
No, you're distorting pretty severely and clicking. Yeah.
Okay, am I on another phone? Is this any different?
No, but it's okay. We'll proceed.
Goodness.
Well, that's a little better, maybe.
Okay. Maybe it's the room I was in. I don't know.
Yeah, or the connection, or who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows what it could be? Or maybe it's just all of your energy.
Maybe that's it. I need to get out there and heal the phone lines.
That's right. Heal those phone lines. 866-666-7926
We needed it after this hurricane, I tell you.
Yeah. You were in that horrible hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow. Not a good thing. Definitely not a good thing. I want to ask you about depression. You know, it's quite the topic these days.
Yes.
And I'm going to say this with facetiousness and tongue in cheek, because I do take depression very seriously. But everybody who's anybody these days has been treated at some time in their life for depression. And I think that that's true. And, I mean, I've certainly had depression after I lost my mother. I had terrible depression and spent 2 years of my life just feeling like I was the most miserable, horrible person that anyone would ever want to have anything to do with, and could hardly get out of bed to go to work in the morning. What's going on? What is depression? How do we know when that's kind of clobbered us over the head?
Well, I think we know by how we feel and you know, by patterns, whether we're just so unhappy when we wake up in the morning, and as we go through the day, we know if we aren't laughing much at all, we know if we're alone too much, upset, angry, you know, and we also know if we start to not take care of ourselves even in a more basic functional way.
We have a call. Let's bring the caller in. Hi there, you're with Debbie and Marlena. Hello? Hello, caller?
Oh.
I don't know what happened.
They're gone. I hope they didn't get depressed.
Hello? Well, maybe they'll call back.
Maybe they will.
Call us back, caller, or we'll be depressed.
Yeah.
And now you've hit on something that I want to capitalize on here. I want to expand on. Taking care of yourself, even in the most basic way. To me, you know, I've seen, certainly people who are blind and who aren't blind, but I've seen people say things like, I don't care. You know, I mean, I don't care what I look like. People have to take me for who I am. I don't care. And I have often wondered if that isn't a bit of depression.
I think it certainly can be, and it can also be a great deal of inadequacy about going through dealing with, whether it's being overweight, whether it's, I mean, I think there are a lot of people, certainly sighted people, but blind people as well, who don't know their own bodies, who have been maybe handled so much by other people, but really have not felt that their bodies are their own to get to know and to take care of. And, you know, but also it takes a lot of time and energy to deal with things like cooking food and, you know, sorting out clothes and finding the right colors, thanks to the color identifier that you talked about on your podcast.
White.
But, I mean, it really does take a lot of time and energy. And if somebody's depressed, and if somebody is dealing usually, I mean, I've never known anybody in depression to have great self-esteem. So if there's low self-esteem going on and a great deal of sense of body feeling of inadequacy, you know, I mean, I get people who want to deal with the Bach flower essences, those flower essences that I've talked about on, and some people have heard me talk about, that deal with emotions. And one of them that's great for body image and self-esteem is crabapple. And, you know, I've seen cases where people who have gotten on that have suddenly been able to manage dealing with things that they were neglecting before because they suddenly feel better about their body.
Well, I was moving toward those Bach flower essences, and so there you go. Let's talk about that. What are Bach flower essences?
Well, they are essences from flowers that have been found to help with emotions. And, you know, I'm not a person who really would encourage people to all go get on antidepressants, but I also have found that there are a lot of people that are not going to go into therapy. They're not going to go and talk about a lot of different emotions in their lives and situations. But a mid-ground might be some flower essences. These are essences, there are 38 of them, that work on various emotional patterns, lots of different feelings. There's one for known fears, there's one for unknown fears, there's one for terror and nightmares. You know, they're all different. And what these do is they're not aromatic. It's not aromatherapy, even though they come from flowers, but they're just a couple of little drops that once they get in the system, they somehow work on calming emotions. Now, we know that it is not a placebo because these are even given to animals. Rescue Remedy, if any of you have ever heard of Rescue Remedy.
Yeah, my dog can't survive without Rescue Remedy.
Who?
My dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of vets use it.
Yeah. Yeah.
What does it do for her?
Well, she has this new thing going on right now that we can't figure out in the last week or so, that she's just been terrified to be at home. Just terrified. And if I don't give her a fairly hefty dose of Rescue Remedy at night, she stays up all night and walks around and shivers, and her eyes get big and wide. And so she, it just makes her stop immediately.
Now, do you put it in her drinking water?
I did try that, but she won't drink the water that way, so I just give her some drops.
Okay, because one of the things that's interesting about these essences is it doesn't matter how much you give, it's more about how often. So if you give actually 4 drops of Rescue is a dose, and you can do it every 3 to 5 minutes. But if you were to give 6 or 8 drops, it doesn't make it any more intense.
So getting back to sort of the Bach flower essences in general, you say once these get into the body, now, of course, with the Rescue Remedy, for people who don't know what that is, it's a liquid, and It comes obviously with a dropper, and you do the drops. But what about these other?
There's also a spray, and there's a cream.
Oh, see, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and Rescue Remedy in it of itself has been found to help a lot of people with physical pain and physical ailments as well, because the belief is that if we deal with the emotions, if we allow these essences to help heal emotions, that the physical will often clear up. So, like, for instance, in Rescue, one of the essences is impatience. That's the name of it. And, of course, it's there to help with impatience. And none of us deal with that one, right?
What are you talking about? Hurry up!
And a lot of times, when people are dealing with physical pain, it's believed that that essence, impatience, is the one that tends to help with that physical pain more than any of the others. Mm. So I one time had my fingers, 2 of my fingers, slammed in a trunk of a car, and I sprayed them every few minutes with that Rescue spray, and I never had pain.
Mm.
So we
know about Rescue Remedy. How else can we get these Bach flower essences?
I make formulas for people, and I can be contacted to sit with a person, even long distance, and make up a formula of up to 7 essences in it. I really probably need to do a podcast and talk about some of what these essences are, so you can go to the health food store and pick them out yourself and put them in a mixing bottle and put in a teaspoon of brandy or vinegar or glycerin if one doesn't want the brandy. But basically that's how a formula is made, and with spring water. Or people can go to the health food store and get single essences and just put a couple drops of them in a glass of water and get some relief. Somebody might say, well, gosh, you know, I don't know 7 different things that I might need essences for. I can't even think of anything. I just know that I'm dealing with tons of jealousy, and I'm just really filled with rage. And I would say, well, then go to the health food store and get some holly and put 2 drops of that either on your tongue or under your tongue or into a glass of something that you're drinking, and sip it. Just sip it, and every sip is a dose.
Interesting.
It's absolutely fascinating. I mean, I have seen these things do wonders.
So you think that that these things can maybe put the Prozac-type drugs up on the shelf?
Well, I don't know if I can say that, but what I would say is I think many times they have helped people not need medication, and some people who absolutely have a biochemical imbalance, and I think there are some that do, not as many as that take those medications, but it, the Bach essences are said to help medication work better. So a person might get even more out of their medication or might get to a point where they can get off of it sooner.
Why are they called Bach essences, B-A-C-H?
Because the man who came up with this theory about what they are and how they work was named Dr. Edward Bach.
Ah, okay. So we have Bach in music and Bach in essences.
Yeah.
I want to go back to kind of an earlier subject. The telephone number to call is 866-666-7926. And I think all our listeners are just really relaxing, Debbie. See what
I guess
you,
so.
Yeah. I often worry, you know, we don't get calls. And then people say to me afterwards, well, you shouldn't worry. We just didn't know what questions to ask because you asked them all. So we're going to hope that's the case, that I'm asking good questions and you're giving good answers.
I hope so.
Yeah. But I want to go back to talking about Reiki. What mm-hmm. is Reiki?
Reiki is a form of energy work. And it was said to be, when it was discovered, it came out of something that was very ancient and, was forgotten. And so it's basically a form of either hands-on healing or hands above the body. Many people who have been into Reiki, passed up to the master level, learn symbols. Actually, there's Reiki 1, 2, and 3 in training. And there are these symbols that are very visual. And the belief is that these symbols get put into people's hands and into the heads as part of an initiation or what they call attunement process. And that if you, the belief is that once you have these symbols, then you're empowered to be able to do Reiki. I don't really believe all that. I think that the energy is within many of us if we're meant to have that anyway. I mean, I don't know if everyone is meant to, but I would venture to say I think it is in most of us. And I think that what Reiki does or any kind of healing that you have an intent to do or to use, it's just a way of turning that on and allowing that to flow. I mean, I think that if you send positive thoughts about people to them, I mean, if we go back and look at the work of Larry Dossey, D-O-S-S-E-Y, who wrote a lot and studied a lot about prayer and the effects of prayer and the effects of prayer when people didn't even know about it. I think that the positive thoughts that we have about other people and that other people have about us have a huge effect on us, as do also the negative. And I think there are many times that things happen to us where we're not doing well because of negative thoughts that people have or of negative thoughts that we have, even about ourselves or about others. So I think our thoughts are hugely important.
Interesting. When we look at, and of course this is a topic in which I'm personally interested, which is one of the reasons I wanted you on my show, because I wanted to talk about it for an hour. And it's my show. Or maybe we'll talk about it for two. I don't know. But when you look, you know, you use the phrase energy work. Now, I know what that means, but can you describe that? And then I've got a follow-up question to deal with that.
What, how, I'm trying to think, what would I say? I guess I would say that I think there's a whole lot to who we are that actually lives in the unseen and not just in the physical. And I think that energy work is, it's also been called vibratory medicine, or vibrational medicine. I think it's a way of helping people that doesn't only involve the physical. It could involve the mind and the emotions, but it might involve a lot more subtle kinds of ways that a person receives some kind of benefit that is beyond the physical. That's what I would say. How would you add to that?
Well, yeah, I mean, I that's certainly my understanding of it, and it's also for me when I'm really conscious of trying to do my own energy work, I'm also very conscious of trying to be present in each moment, which for me means really putting, well, all right, let me give an example. I, of course, have been in various and sundry capacities in the past number of years in which I've had to deal with customers of one thing or another. And I can remember a particular customer whose lot in life was much more challenging than mine, but also being around this individual is extraordinarily challenging. And so my energy work in that instance, what would be, I would constantly be saying to myself, listen to his heart.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to not the words coming out of his mouth, what's coming out of his heart. And mm-hmm. so that, you know, for me, that's kind of where I go for energy work when I know that's kind of where I'm looking toward. But one thing that comes up when you have this conversation with blind people, and you know, you talk about looking for the energy, seeing the light, and they go, "What are you talking about? I can't see the light."
You know? Yes. I've had people say that to me.
What are you talking about? You're blind. There's no light. And don't you think it's a different light that we're talking about?
Sure, I do. I mean, when we say something is traveling faster than the speed of light, I mean, that's not just talking about electric light. That faster than the speed of light was long before we talked about, you know, probably long before any sort of electric light, but even there's sunlight. But, you know, the word light is also such an interesting word because we use it in so many ways. We talk about a light touch. Well, is that a light that we see?
Mm-hmm.
We talk about a light conversation or a light interaction, a humor. We talk about a light, as in not heavy, a light meal.
Mm-hmm.
We use that word in so many ways.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
what does that mean? It means a lot of different things, but I think that it can mean truth. It can mean, it's almost hard to define exactly what it means, but I mean, I know that I have seen light, and I will often use that in my meditation, but I will also go to that warmth of feeling light. I mean, if you know what it's like to approach a light that's on and you feel the warmth.
Or
and
the
how
sun.
Far,
or even
yes,
the sun, yeah.
Exactly. And how far from that light that's on can you feel it before you get to it? How far from a building or a person standing in the middle of a room, how far from it can you be and feel it before you actually approach it? Well, in a way, what you're feeling is that energy or that light around that person or that situation.
I want to talk a little bit about meditation and relaxation techniques and tips. I think we as blind people generally are uptight. I think that we, there's exceptions to everything. But, you know, I was talking to someone not too many days ago who shall remain nameless, but this individual told me what their blood pressure was. And for who they are, it was astronomical.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you just need to learn to chill.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if you have any, and maybe this will help Ron as well. I wonder if you have any tips. You know, if you go out and you buy a biofeedback tape or a meditation tape or, you know, the first thing they're going to tell you in most of these tapes is visualize a puffy cloud. Well, I'm sorry.
Yeah, right.
I ain't got no puffy cloud to visualize. So I wonder if you have any tips.
Yeah, I do. I often will start with the breath. And I will, whether I'm telling myself or tell someone else, to imagine breathing in and breathing out and feel that rhythm of the breath moving in and out and feel that and perhaps consider that rhythm of the breath as it moves in and out is like the ocean as it moves in and out. And we all know what waves sound like and maybe even feel like when they splash around our ankles. And then I would also say something like, think about how the breath takes care of you automatically, how that breathing in and out happens to send the oxygen throughout your body to wherever it needs to go and helps you release in that exhale whatever you don't need, whatever serves you no useful purpose, and to give your body permission and give your whole self permission to get that sense of regeneration from the breath. And, you know, I will also use something like breathing in good and breathing out garbage. I've done that at times.
Yeah.
Breathing in the good and breathing out the garbage.
Yeah.
Breathing in, and I'll sometimes say as someone breathes in, that's God. And breathing out and saying, and that's God. That the breath itself is that source within that's here to every moment take care of you, support you, and give you that, sustain that vehicle which is your body, that is your vehicle for your expression and experience.
One thing, if I can just add something that I do, and I certainly do the breath work because I think that your breath is cyclical. You know, you breathe in through your nose, you're at the top of the cycle, you breathe out through your mouth, you're coming down to the bottom of the cycle. But one thing that I also, actually two things that I add, sometimes both at the same time and sometimes only one or the other. I use two images. One is that I'm actually lying on the beach in the sun. And you know how that feels.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is just like cooking you and your skin's getting dry and but there's this warmth that just goes all over you. So I use that. And then I also use, which I sort of got from my days of living in Washington, D.C. I used to have to take this hellaciously long escalator ride. And as I was going down the escalator one day, I thought, wow, this is really cool, man. I'm like descending into some other space. And so I find that those are things that as a blind person, I can understand, I can visualize,
yep.
I can feel.
Yeah. I will often be in a hammock and rocking and, you know, being held and feeling the wind, the breeze around me. And also there are times that I'm walking downstairs and I feel myself walking down, walking down, walking down, because that way, and I might even imagine a nice thick carpet under my feet or the coolness of tile floor under my feet or even the grain of wood floor. All of those are just images that, that give texture and, you know, and also sometimes walking along the seashore, feeling the sand and the water.
And the seashore is a very safe place, too. I mean, you're not going to have to worry about too many ride on reds in the seashore. You're walking along. well, I don't know. I to me, this is all very interesting stuff. And tell us about your podcast. How can we learn more?
I'm so excited about podcasting. I did some radio years ago for the Motivation Station. It was WNN, and it was syndicated on 9 different stations throughout the country. And I was on, at one point, I was on 6 times a day with some little features that I had written and recorded. Some of them were based on my first book, and some of them were before that. But I knew when I did that, I said, oh, I've got to get back into radio. And I love it. So when I heard about podcasting, I said, I want to learn. So I've been having a ball learning how to use SoundForge and learning how to use Skype and, you know, Skylook and my iRiver, going out and doing little remote little interviews. And so just since October, I've done a few podcasts. I have 2 more that I've done this weekend that I need to, one of them I put up last night, the other one I need to put up tonight. But anyway, I've launched a new website, DebbieHazelton.com. And I have my podcasts up there that can be downloaded, or there's a feed through FeedBurner. It's feeds.feedburner.com/Debbie Hazelton's blog. And let's see, what else can I tell you? Oh, the comment line for my podcast is 206-203-1332 or 206-203-1-DEB. Couldn't resist.
Well, that's all right. And I just want to say our first caller tonight, Ron, had asked me earlier about listening to podcasts. And for people who don't know, if you can listen to this show, you can listen to a podcast on your computer.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So can people go to your website and click and listen to the podcast from there?
Yeah, I think so. You can just click on opening it as an attachment. I mean, instead of saving it, you can open it and hear it there. Sure.
Great, great. And where can they find your books?
Well, actually, let's see. They both were recorded through RFB&D, and then Solving the Self-Esteem Puzzle was also, they put Solving the Self-Esteem Puzzle on Talking Book and into Braille. And they're out of print now, but I think there are some around in used bookstores if somebody wants them actually in hard copy print.
I'm going to have to look for them.
You know, it's funny. I mean, they came out in 90 and 91, and I'm sure I disagree with several things I said back then. I mean, it's a long time from then now, but I still agree with a lot of it, too.
I'll have to read them and then have you back on and say, now, is this still true?
Yeah.
Is this still the Debbie Hazelton that I know? Well, is there, just kind of in wrapping up here, is there anything you want to stress that we haven't really touched on?
I would just say that, you know, whatever you can do, any one of you can do to find and increase joy in your life, and joy within you, around you, the sense that you're with people who enjoy you, whatever you can do to have that feeling, whatever you can do to laugh more, because I really think that the two of the best medicines we have are laughter and forgiveness. And forgiveness is a biggie, and it's kind of like it's one of those unmentionables that a lot of people don't want to talk about. But and I don't believe in pushing it at people. It's kind of like liver. I mean, you know, if you tell people to eat liver, they're usually going to go, ugh. Or if they like it, they're going to say, oh, yum. But it's something that I think a person has to make up their own mind that they're ready for. And I will tell you that for a long time, I was not one that wanted to forgive, and I certainly didn't want anyone to tell me to. But I would say today that I think forgiveness is the most healing medicine that we have. It really works. It really helps a lot. So that would be one thing, and laughter.
Well, Debbie, I appreciate it, and this is all fascinating stuff, and we're going to do this again.
Cool. I'd love it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I think it's stuff we need to keep touching. I think we need to keep stretching and growing and reaching and trying to really. Our community is a tough community. Sometimes mm-hmm. we're very tough on each other.
Mm, yeah.
And this whole.
And I think that I think that's usually a symptom of being tough on ourselves.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
having had people be pretty tough on us. So, yeah, I think loosening those chains is real important.
Let's do it again soon.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Have a good night, everyone.
Thank
bye
you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Let there be light to give you insight. Let there be light to brighten all your days. When the darkness brings the doubts and the fears and the tears, let there be light, may it shine on you always. May your thoughts be of good things to come. Don't dwell on that time gone by. May you learn to keep your eye on the road that lies ahead. May the tears be tears of joy that you cry. Let there be light to give you insight. Let there be light to brighten all your days. When the darkness brings the doubts and the fears and the tears, let there be light, may it shine.
Light, that's Jenny Emery, the title track from her CD, Let There Be Light, and I thought that was kind of an appropriate thing to follow up this last hour with. I'm going to be seeing Jenny in a couple of weeks, can't wait, day after Thanksgiving. She and Matthew are coming to visit me, so that'll be kind of cool. We're in open forum now, 866-666-7926, and I sure as heck hope you've got something to talk about, because I'm so relaxed from that last hour, man. I tell you what, I'm into, like, guided imagery, and let's just all kick back and, you know, just relax. 866-666-7926. Oh, boy, oh, boy. I don't know about you, but I've been getting ready for winter to set in here in Seattle, and giving things away, giving away clothing and stuff. You know, there's some that feels good about sort of purging one's things that one doesn't use so much any longer. And so I've been kind of involved in doing that. Been real concerned about my dog. She's been just really scared. Although, I guess today she's been better. She's seeming to hang in there. We have a call. Hi there. This is Marlena. Who's this?
Marlena.
Yes.
It's Bill Hogue.
Hey, Bill Hogue. How are you?
I can't hardly hear you, lady.
Oh, I can hear you just fine.
Well, okay. Maybe it's my bad ear.
Well, change your ear.
Change my ear. Well, I'll try that. Let's see if that helps.
All right. How you doing?
Doing great. Finally got rested up.
Yeah.
Hey, one of the reasons I wanted to call you was to thank you and your committee for the awards that our chapter won at the convention.
Oh, well, you're very welcome. Bill's referring to the Washington Council of the Blind, and the chapter of WCB of which he is president won the Chapter of the Year award. So, very well deserved.
Well, thank you. It was a lot of work putting on the convention. We truly enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I got an email from Margie, the lady that done the door prizes. And we actually gave out over $700 in cash and gift certificates.
Wow, that's great.
And we had over 140 door prizes. So, you know, we were tickled pink. We really weren't.
Well, it was a great time. And next year, of course, we'll be over here. And so you raise the bar, Bill. We've got to meet that standard.
Well, you know, things happen for a reason beyond our control a lot of times. But, you know, our weather was great the weekend of the convention. The next weekend, you know, got snow in the mountains.
Yeah.
And then on Sunday morning, the pass ended up being closed. And, yeah, if you guys would have left here at 10 o'clock to go home, ended up, you know, with the closed pass and
yeah,
had to come back to Yakima and go over, you know.
We would have to come back and stay at your house.
Well, you might have. But anyway, just wanted to touch bases with you, and hey, keep up the good work.
Well, thank you, and thank you so much for listening.
Oh, hey, I try not to miss it.
I pay you well.
Thanks, Marlena.
All right, Bill, take care.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Oh, he's a nice man. Bill Hogue, the president over there in the Tri-Cities area of Washington State, of the Washington Council of the Blind, and came to blindness later in life, and said, I'm not going to let this mess me up. I'm gonna figure it out, get active, and do something. Hi there, this is Marlena. Who's this?
Well, I think you would know.
Well,
but anyway, this is Stan Leprell.
Well, I knew right away by the well. Well, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing just great.
What are you cooking these days?
Oh, today I fried some chicken.
Oh, now you're going to hurt my heart.
But a couple weeks ago, I made some changes in my bean recipe.
Oh, no.
Oh, and it was so good.
Oh.
Instead, you know, I used 3 cans. The cans you like you get at Costco, of chicken broth.
Oh.
And I didn't use any water.
Gosh.
And I'd use some other things in it, and it came out so well.
Oh, yummo, yummo! I'm gonna come down there to Oregon and have beans with you.
There you, hey, you're more than welcome.
Just don't put any beans in my ears.
Oh, no, you remember? You know what? That was the most
horrible
thought. I can't hear you,
Mom. I've got beans in my ears.
Oh, jeez, I've been trying. You know, one of my friends that I used to work with, we were talking about that song, and he put that on a CD, and I just tried to avoid that CD because I always thought, what a strange song.
Yeah, well, it is strange.
But then sometimes we need the strange songs to just kind of keep us going.
Boy, do we ever.
To laugh at the strangenesses of life that for which we have no control.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, of course, the weather has already changed here and even in Oregon. About last weekend, we had 3 inches of rain in 2 days.
Oh, man.
So it just opened up, and I'm saying, okay, come on. Now, you can slow down a little bit with the rain. I'm not in Seattle.
Hey, watch that. Watch that. Or else.
You know,
Or else.
Oh, I like that. Oh, no. Oh, my. That is instant request, yes.
Only for you. Only for you.
I love that.
Only for you.
And, of course, I found out it's so funny how things can happen because a friend of mine was decided to get in the note-taker business.
Oh.
I mean, not, to buy one.
Yeah.
And I think I've made a sale for Jonathan.
Oh, now that, you've heard of Flowers for Algernon? A sale for Jonathan. That could be a movie.
That could be. Yeah. Or a nightmare movie. No, I don't. But, anyway, so it's because the cast of 3 people some advice as to which thing to do, and all 3 said the same thing, so.
Ah, well, then he asked the right people.
I guess,
Yeah.
But I haven't touched bases for a while, and I said, well,
I wondered where you were. I thought you were mad at me.
Oh, no.
I thought, now, where's my Stan?
You know, you should know better than that.
Oh.
I may be off lurking in the distance, but I figured it was the time that I get in touch because, of course, I knew you had Debbie on earlier, which I knew that she was going to be on thanks to a certain email list. I think she makes some great points, though, because I think if you can just kind of let go of the things that you need to let go of, it can make a big difference.
You know, but sometimes isn't it hard, though, to figure out what it is,
It is. It is. You know? I had a situation a couple of years, before I came up here, I had a situation where some relatives decided, because I was, left the house and everything, and I decided to sell it and move up here, but they decided to pilfer things and take everything of belongings and trash it and, break, doors and walls and, do all everything they could to try to cause a headache for me because these people that did it were drug addicts.
Oh.
And, I realized that it's not that condoning what they did, but you know what? The things you can replace.
Yeah.
And you can't, you're just going to eat your liver up by holding a grudge and letting things happen that that aren't going to solve it, aren't going to make any difference.
Yeah.
And if you can go and try to feel good about who you are and what you are, you know, then that can make a difference. And I know that may sound rather trite to some, but it doesn't help to eat your liver out.
Well, and, you know, I think that you can carry that a step further as well and say that, you know, when you're looking at your blindness, I mean, you know, it's like, I mean, you've got two choices, basically. You can either stay at home and be angry and let the world owe you a living, or you can say, you know what, my blindness is a part of who I am. And,
exactly.
You know, yeah, it's going to be, and you know what, it ain't going to be fair. And most of the time, it ain't going to be fair.
But you know what, as a friend of mine, one of my radio buddies used to say, nothing in life is totally fair.
Yeah, I remember watching a movie once when I was a kid, and I don't even remember which movie it was, but it was one of these, you know, heart-rending, you know, emotional chick flick things, you know.
Yeah.
And this guy said to this youngster, life isn't a basketball game with fair and unfair. Life is.
Exactly.
And that, boy, that has always stuck with me, always.
But, you know, and there's many different ways, and I think what she said at the end of the conversation about blind people being hard on each other, I think that's so real because there's many different ways to deal with blindness and the things and the way we deal with blindness as there are ways to deal with it.
And not everybody's way is the perfect. I mean, you know, I'm an old lady now, so I have a lot of years that I've lived and, you know, I can kind of look back and I remember when I was in my 20s. And by God, if you didn't get out and take the subway in Boston where I lived and if you didn't, you know, if you didn't carry your own tray in the cafeteria, you were disgusting. I mean, shame on you. If I could do it, you could do it. And, you know, if you didn't cut your own meat, oh, that was just, and now I look back on how incredibly much I obviously felt I had to defend myself.
But do you think that you were also trying to mask some things?
Oh,
That you, by being the angry, bitter, by God, if you, this is the right way, and by God,
that's right.
That you were really masking some insecurities of your own?
Absolutely. That's exactly what I meant by defending my own self, is that if I did it, it has to be.
But you know, there are issues, and we discussed this before, that are going to make things really turn on its own, you know, on the dime when you think about the whole business of these new hybrid cars.
Oh, yeah. They
and
scare me.
And what that is going to mean for the paradigm of blindness.
Yep.
And how we deal with it and how we may have to rethink.
That's right.
Some of the things we once held.
That's right.
Because the whole business of that, it's not going to stop because we don't like them.
Right. I mean, they are silent cars.
And, you know, cars are going to, and it's going to get worse, whether it's hybrid cars or another kind of car. I think the silence is in this case, the sound of silence isn't a good
thing. Yeah. No, I very much, and I'm just so grateful, for the journeys that I've taken in my life that have brought me here, although, I mean, I'm still evolving, you know, I mean.
But each page we turn allows us to find either peace within ourselves or a deep-seated anger. I prefer to find the peace.
Exactly. And I prefer to see the dignity in other people rather than saying, oh, you know, somebody really, you know, they
each of us have our strengths and our weaknesses.
Exactly. And we all bring both to the table.
And that's what makes us who we are. And I think that, because I remember as a kid, I had a mobility instructor from hell. She was a real witch. And I still think of it that way because what she did, if you made a mistake, she said, oh, where are your brains up your rear end?
Oh, my gosh.
Now, that's not the way you deal with people.
No, no.
And that stuck with me for a long time, but it was funny because when you have that kind of thing forced at you, you're not going to try your heart, your best.
Yeah.
You're going to resent it.
Yeah.
And what happened was at the end of the year, they wanted me to see a neurologist. And I did, and I explained to him what some of the things was. Well, evidently, it must have gotten back to her. And she told me, you don't like me very much, do you? And I thought, gee, what gave you the first clue?
Yeah, where are your brains, lady?
You know, it's just one of those things where a teacher can be either a good one and someone you learn from, but the teacher is not always a good thing.
Yep.
But anyway, something to think about.
Yep, something to think about. And call me again.
Well, you have a pleasant evening.
Well, I will now that you called.
Oh, boy. Well, anyway, have a pleasant evening. I always enjoy talking to you.
There's a lot of peanut butter getting spread around here, right?
Something like that. Have a good evening.
All right, Stan, take care. Bye-bye. 866-666-7926. Boy, lots of stuff in that conversation. Everything from beans in my ears to brains up my butt. I don't know. But, you know, Stan's right. I mean, teachers can really, really hurt us or help us. Let's see who this is. Hi there, this is Marlena. Who's this?
Hey, Marlena, this is Julia.
Hey, Julia!
How you doing, girl?
Hey! The flautist from Texas.
Yes.
Are you a flutist or a flautist?
I have heard it said both ways. I prefer
flautist. Or are you just a flute player?
There you go. Well, given that, you know, I'm majoring in flute in college, I have to say, sometimes I wish I was just a flute player. You wouldn't have to have all these hours and hours of practicing.
Yeah, well, it's good for you. It makes you tired.
Oh, yes, definitely. Definitely good on me. Good on me. Anyway, yeah, I definitely echo yours and Stan's. I was thinking of the fish.
Oh, I thought you were thinking of Flat Stanley.
No. There's a show on Disney Channel which is cute called Stanley. I don't know if I can play it, but it's basically about a little boy who's six and his goldfish named Dennis. I do definitely agree with yours and Stan's views regarding blindness and regarding, you know, the whole grudge thing and everything. I do think that at least in my case, you know, being that I'm only 24. in my case, the blindness thing is a bit of a, you know, you do sometimes get the whole, well, God, I can do it, why can't they? You know?
Yeah.
But like you say, it is about strengths and weaknesses. We all have both, and I think to accept people's strengths and weaknesses is a good thing. And, you know, obviously I've done some living a bit, but I think that, you know, just in general, to maybe be sometimes a bit more tolerant of, well, okay, fine, it's not the way I would do it, but, you know, good job.
Yeah. I mean, you know, yeah. I can remember on the listservs, you know, several years ago, oh, my goodness gracious, there was such a raging debate over people who cut their meat versus people who have their meat cut.
Cut for them,
Who cares?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, if I go out to dinner with you, and, I mean, I happen to cut my meat most of the time, but sometimes I don't. But if I go out to dinner with you and I decide not to cut my meat, are you going to leave?
Oh, God, no.
Have you cut it for me? No.
Yes, small bite-sized pieces.
Yes, small bite-sized piece, and all at once.
Yeah. I do think that in some instances, Stan was talking about the whole guilt thing and trying to, you know, trying to figure out some sort of, you know, what's going on with you, why you would kind of feel this way toward the blind people. And I think that in a lot of ways, our sighted influences from parents or instructors or what have you have a lot of that, because like, you have to compete inside the world. You have to be, you know, you can't, you're blind, but you can't look like you're blind.
Yeah.
You know, I think that plays a lot of you know, things into what we're trying to do. And I know one of the things, and luckily I do not do this, but a lot of my friends that were blind would do the blindisms, as they call them.
Yeah.
And so that was always, you know, trying to be told, hey, don't do that, you know, or
yeah,
your posture, or, you know, don't rock back and forth or what have you. I think that was a big thing. But anyway, on an aside note, what are some of the wintry things you like to do? It is definitely getting time for winter.
Oh, it is getting time for winter.
Yes.
Well, I hate the cold. So,
do you?
Oh, yes.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
See, I love it. Well, no. I say I love the cold, but I love the dry cold.
No.
Wet cold, man, you can have it.
I don't like any cold. I don't like to be cold. I whine when I'm cold. I don't like it. So I've never been skiing. But see, I have this this secret me. Who would love to go skiing. If somebody could warm it up, just, you know, warm it, just make it 75.
Yeah. It's actually not, I remember when I went skiing, I was 16, and we had taken a trip to Colorado. I think it was in Breckenridge. And it was April, and, you know, of course, it's man-made snow up there. But at the mountains, where we were way up there. And I wasn't really noticing the cold at all. And yes, it was cold, but I had layers and stuff on.
Yeah.
And my skis were on and everything. I don't think I had snow boots. I'm not quite sure. I don't remember. But at the time, you know, because I had never skied before, so I was taking ski lessons, and they were really, really excellent instructors. They helped me get comfortable with the poles first, and I would walk on the skis first with poles, and then eventually I got it, I think toward the second day I got to where I could ski by myself. Well, not by myself totally, but they were beside me, but they weren't hanging on to me or anything. And that can be a bit frightening when you're going downhill.
Yeah, I bet.
Kind of fast.
I bet.
I didn't have time to think about the cold.
Well,
I was just trying to keep balance and
hoping you weren't going to break your leg. Yeah.
Well, you know, I did fall a few times. but the trick, the one thing I do remember, the one trick is you bring your skis further apart away from you, and you slow yourself down to where you kind of make like your own little snowbank.
Yeah.
With the skis, and then you stop.
Don't they call that snow plowing or something?
As then when you bring, you know, your skis closer to you, then you go faster. But that was definitely something that I wanted to try, and oh man, I loved it.
Luckily,
I could go during the winter.
It's too cold.
Colorado's not that far from here.
It's too cold.
It's only a few hours.
No, that's too cold for me.
So
other things that I like to do in the winter, I like to, let's see, what do I like to do? I don't know, just, I make more soup in the winter.
Yes.
It's soup season.
Wow, I like to roast, well, I don't say I like to because I haven't done it yet, but roasting marshmallows.
In the winter?
Oh, yeah.
I do that in the summer.
Definitely. Oh, really?
Yeah.
I've always associated that with winter, because you think of a fireplace,
oh,
you know, like throwing fire kind of thing.
Well, chestnuts, yeah, but marshmallows roasting on an open fire.
It fits.
Gives a whole new meaning.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll have to think about what else I like to do in the winter.
Hmm.
That's a good question.
Yeah, unfortunately, I've got a grueling semester coming up.
Oh, well, better you than me.
I shouldn't say grueling. It's not too difficult. It's just a lot of hours. But that's okay.
How do you think you would fare in school if you didn't have the technology?
I would hate it. I think, I've had technology since I was about six or seven, of some sort. But I think I could do it. But I definitely, I'll tell you this, I would be taking just 12 hours. I wouldn't be taking like 18 hours at a time.
The technology does kind of free you up.
Oh, God, yes, definitely. I mean, just to have, you know, Braille note or a laptop, just being able to access your email and things like that. I get kind of upset about visually impaired or blind people, I have to say both, who have this technology but don't utilize it.
Yeah.
And expect hard copy Braille to be given to them. And then complain when it's scanned.
Yeah.
It's not exactly perfect.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I am one of the things that I do at school, I've now started the semester working on campus just to see what it's like, you know, to get up and go to school all the time and have a job. And do all that. And I'm doing well with it. I'm coping with it very well. And one of the things that I do is scan for people using Kurzweil and emboss it. I have, I think, a couple bookmakers and a Tiger Pro.
Boy, those are heavy-duty embossers.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Holy cow.
God. Well, I mean, you know, and the students in law school. So those books are huge. I was looking at a chapter last week, and I'm, without lying, front and back, 40, you know, characters across the page, is this huge, huge book. I mean, it looked like three volumes put together.
Wow.
For one chapter, and I'm going, oy, you're going to sift through that? Good luck. Better you than me.
Hope their Braille skills are good.
Yeah. I'd say put that on a Braille note and take it on a compact flashcard with you. You know?
Yeah. At least when your finger gets tired, it can read to you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I could do it without technology. Now, the Slayton stylus, I don't know. Did you ever...
Oh, I love the Slayton stylus.
Really?
Oh, gosh. In fact, I was just going to ask you, do you use a Slayton stylus?
I never did when I was young and there was any Braille. I hated it. But then I was about, I don't know, junior high level. And I decided, you know what, I'm going to learn this. It's not that difficult. So I taught myself. I just figured, okay, the basic backward thing going on. And I learned it enough to do it pretty well. I wasn't, you know, very, very fast at it. But I did learn it.
See, I contend that the teachers don't teach the Slayton stylus correctly. And you just affirmed it again by describing it as the basic backwards thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the way in which, when I have taught Slayton stylus, I just teach it dots 1, 2, 3 is on the right, 4, 5, 6 is on the left, and I never even get into that whole concept.
Backwards thing.
Of the backwards thing. And
right.
It's amazing. People pick it, if you don't tell them it's backwards.
Oh.
if you don't say, you know, well, you're going to move your hand right to left, and you say you're moving your hand right to left because you're going to flip the paper and read
right.
left to
and
right.
Read left to right.
And that makes perfect sense to people. Mm-hmm. So they get over this whole block about, oh my God, I learned Braille. Now I got to learn it backwards.
Yes. And I think that is what happened when I was first shown how to use it. And that is, what? Huh? No, you know? And I had to think of, like you said, I did think 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 on the opposite sides. I just flipped it.
Yeah.
And I just got good at flipping Braille in my head.
Yeah, that's right.
It's going to be a day.
Yeah,
And it did work well.
Yeah.
It did work well.
No, I'm a Slayton style. I had a job where for 11 years on my desk, I never had a Brailler, and I just had a Slayton stylus, and I wrote
really?
As fast with my Slayton stylus as my office mates did with their pencils.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
now, that is awesome.
Yeah, people used to go, it sounds like you're popping popcorn.
I can't imagine. Yeah. I was at a conference once, and this person was sitting next to me, and she was just fast, and I was going, oh, wow, how amazing. I don't know how you would take notes. That fast, though, like in college.
Well, I'm not sure I could do it now.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Even sometimes typing on the Braille note is challenging when they're going 90 miles an hour.
Yeah, I'll take my Braille note, thank you.
But yeah, I do think that technology has influenced me a lot and maybe has made it a bit easier for me to say, yes, I'm going to college.
Yeah,
well, partly because
good.
I've got the stuff that I can utilize and do utilize on a regular basis.
Yeah.
I guess each his own. You should give your puppy a scratch for me.
I will. I will.
That's odd that she's scared. So she's afraid to just be inside?
Yeah, she's better today.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
How old is she?
She's 9 and a half.
Oh, my gosh. Are you going to retire?
Yeah, we're looking.
Now, is she your, she's not your first guide
dog? Oh, gosh, no. She's guide dog number 7.
Wow.
Yes, I've had guide dogs since 1964.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, have you always gone to the same school?
No, I've been to 3 different schools.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got guide dog number 1 over here.
Yep. Well, you're on the journey.
a five-year-old who still thinks he's a puppy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I better go.
All right.
It was great talking to you.
It's great talking to you, too, and call me again.
All right. You take care.
All right. Bye, take care. Lady. Bye-bye. Oh, isn't she delightful? That's Julia in Texas. 866-666-7926. Boy, we've just kind of been all over the map tonight. I never know what's going to happen in open forum. I never know if you guys are really going to call. And if you do call, I never know what we're going to talk about. And if you don't call, then I think, oh, now what am I going to talk about for an hour? But, lots of things. It's got to be really interesting and different to be a student these days. And I tell you what, we'll have to think about that. Hi there, this is Marlena. Who's this?
Hello there, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you, Timothy?
Not too bad.
What's going on up there in Nova Scotia?
Well, not much, except for the fact that I got to go to a funeral service tomorrow.
Oh, I'm sorry.
My mother passed on Friday.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Mm.
Oh, was she ill?
For me?
No, was your mother ill?
Yes, she was ill. Yeah.
Oh. Oh, are you there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Must have my cordless does it every once in a while.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
What else is going on for you?
Not too much.
Yeah?
Not too much, except for the fact that everything's going haywire over here.
Yeah, I bet it is. Yeah. Did you live at home with your mom?
No, I'm living in an apartment building that has 8 floors.
Ah, oh, okay.
Well, actually 10 floors, but I'm on the 8th.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, we'll keep you in our thoughts and prayers.
Thanks.
Well, yeah, yeah, I'm really sorry to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, call me next week and let me know how you're doing.
All right, thank you.
All right.
Bye.
All right, Timothy. Bye-bye. 866-666-7926. It's always difficult when we lose someone we love. And, and it's also difficult for people to know how to respond. You know, certainly you're sorry. What else can you say that you are sorry? But, it's still a very, very difficult time, I'm sure. So, Timothy, we will be thinking about you. And I believe that your mom is looking down on you and smiling. Hi there, this is Marlena. Who's this?
Good morning. Good evening. My name is Scott Freeman. I'm a first-time caller.
Hey, Scott. Well, welcome.
I just, it's funny. I have been initiated to the computer for about 2 years now, and I am in the process of changing careers at this mid-stage of my life. I'm in my 50s, and I spent most of my life being a performing musician by trade. And I've just recently moved from the Vero Beach area to the Miami, Florida area, and I am presently going to go into the MIDI business, hopefully, with any luck.
I'm sorry, into the what business?
Into the MIDI business. In other words, making soundtracks for
people. Oh, the MIDI business.
Using,
very cool.
Yeah, using Cakewalk Pro Audio 9 and Cakewalk Sonar and that kind of thing, and I'm in the middle of training at the Miami Lighthouse for the Blind, which is an incredible institution for that.
Ah, yes, I've actually been there.
Have you?
Yeah,
well,
I've done some work there.
It's an incredible place. It really is.
That's amazing. That's now, have you been blind all of your life?
Yes, I've been visually impaired all my life. I'm partially sighted, though. I'm not totally blind. So, but I don't see well enough to use Zoom text. I use JAWS for Windows 5.0 or whatever, and the computer is a whole new world. What else can I say?
Yeah, it really has opened up phenomenal worlds for us, hasn't it?
No kidding.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I'm having a problem with my printer, and I wonder if you have any particular gurus there that can help me out on this thing. Every time I go to print, I get an error message, and I don't know how to you know fix it. I'm not a technical geek by any stretch of the imagination, unfortunately.
What kind of printer do you have?
LaserJet.
So like an HP LaserJet?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Does it have a reset button on it?
Three different buttons on the face of the printer, and there's a light that's blinking right now, but I can't get the thing to work. It's amazing. It's like when I press it, the paper just keeps on spitting out with about one line on the top.
Wow.
Does that make any sense?
Wow. Well, let's see if anyone has any ideas for you, but
I'd appreciate it.
One thing I'd do, just mm-hmm. because, you know, this is what I do, I don't know if it'll fix it, but unplug it. Keep it unplugged for about a minute. And then
my problem is getting back there. You don't have to leave how many wires I
have.
Oh,
yes, I would. You should see my studio.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Are you a musician?
Well, I mean my recording studio.
Oh, I see.
Oh, yes, yes. Well, look on the back of the printer. The cord may be able to be unplugged directly from the printer.
It may.
It may be
Or I'll get somebody here to help me when I have more material installed and so forth and so on. I'll have a friend of mine look at it. What impresses me about the Miami Lighthouse is there are about, I would say at least 5 or 6 staff members there that are totally blind and that know everything about the computer and can go, go behind and work with the wires and stuff. This is new to me, man. I've been at it since I'm in my early 50s, and I'm just beginning to be introduced to the whole computer revolution, and it is so much fun.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing, isn't it?
It really is.
Yep, yep.
What is your profession specifically?
Well, right now I am semi-retired.
From?
My goodness gracious. I have worked in the field of blindness for years.
Uh-huh.
And doing some teaching, and then in adaptive.
Well, you may find this kind of strange, but I'm a legally blind musician who does not read music. I don't read Braille music at all.
Oh, I don't find that strange at all.
It's funny. When I started to learn how to read Braille music, my ear was too far ahead of my reading ability, and I was reading like Jingle Bells when I knew what a major seventh was, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I just could not, handle being held back. And so I went to the University of Miami, where I was one of some, 7 or 8 people that were involved in the studio music and jazz field. All of us were visually impaired. I was the only guy that had partial sight. Everybody else was totally blind.
Uh-huh.
So it's like, but it was amazing what you know, these people's ears are phenomenal. I mean, I have a friend of mine that has perfect pitch, and he should be working all over the place. And one of my big gripes in this field of blindness is that within the Division of Blind Services anywhere in this, throughout the country, there isn't any kind of a nucleus where blind musicians get together or have some sort of a forum where one can, put out one's shingle for work, this kind of thing, and find work and find employment and have agents that are willing to do the same thing they do with regular, sighted clients.
You know, the American Council of the Blind
mm-hmm.
has a special interest affiliate called Friends in Art. And that is composed of great gobs of blind musicians. And some of them are really becoming quite well known, and widely, played. And, one thing you might do
mm-hmm.
is contact the American Council of the Blind, and find out how to contact the president. of Friends in Art and find out if they may already have just this kind of network going.
Well, I will definitely do that. That makes perfect sense. Also, I'm trying to put out my shingle, of course, for making soundtracks. This is a brand new business for me.
Sure.
And I'll tell you, if you want to have an interesting experience, come and see the Lighthouse sometime in the near future, because on the third floor there, they're just starting this. The program has been in existence for a number of years, but they're really starting to build it up and make an actual. Their goal is to make a professional recording studio up there with the idea of training blind engineers to go out and do this kind of work. And
that's fabulous.
It's a hell of a lot of fun.
That's
my language.
Fabulous. I mean, who better to be an audio engineer than a blind guy?
Hey, tell me about it.
You know?
Tell me about it.
I mean,
yeah.
Wake up, world. Hello.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, let me give you ACB's telephone number.
Okay.
It's a toll-free number. It's 800.
Can you hold for one? Let me run and get my Braille machine.
Okay.
Give me 1 minute.
We'll go do 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 what? Do do do. hopefully this will be a good.
I'm dealing with logistics. It's called a phone cord that doesn't reach.
That's okay.
Okay.
That's all right. So it's
ACB.
It's 800-424. 8666. And you want to ask about Friends in Art.
Okay, Friends in Art.
Yeah, yeah. They're a great group.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
Yeah. We try to make these connections here on the Marlena Show.
Where are they located?
Well, ACB is located in Washington, but it's, of course, a membership organization, and its members are all over the United States.
Right,
so,
I know that.
Yeah.
There's an ACB affiliate
you betcha.
That meets at the Lighthouse on a monthly basis, as there is an NFB organization that I belong to.
Sure.
You know, around the area. But,
yeah.
This is definitely interesting stuff to get involved in. And if you are ever in the Coconut Grove of Miami, Florida area, give me an email.
All right.
All right?
All right.
Let me give you my email address. If
all
you
right.
Care.
Go
okay?
ahead. Go ahead.
It is scottreeman at hotmail.com.
All right, great.
I don't have a website. That's one of the things I'm looking for. By the way, you don't happen to know anybody that gives free web hosting, do you?
No, not off the top of my head, but let's see if anybody else knows.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Marlena, this is wonderful.
Good luck,
really
Scott.
I'm really enjoying your show.
Oh, thank you. Call me anytime.
Well, thanks.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 866-666-7926. We've talked tonight about beans in our ears and going through college and being a musician. Julia's a musician. Scott's a musician. Interesting. Interesting, interesting. Well, we got another call. Let's bring him on in. Hi there. This is Marlena. Who's this?
Hi, Marlena. This is Marcia Moses from Michigan.
Marcia Moses from Michigan. Now, we should make a song. It's Marcia Moses from Michigan.
All those M's in there.
Colin Marlena.
That's right.
And
all
Madeline.
M's, definitely.
How are you doing
this evening?
Oh, I'm all right. How are you?
Oh, I'm all right. It's windy, and it started out to be a beautiful, sunny day today.
Yeah.
But the wind has been kicking up, and it's getting colder, and now they're saying by the end of the week, well, by about Wednesday
or Thursday,
we're going to have some snow showers.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful.
That's about it. Inside, it's so delightful.
That's right.
But anyway, I want to tell you, Marlena, that I remember learning the slate and stylus in third grade.
Yay!
And it was wonderful.
I know.
I still have one. I carry it around in my purse.
I just bought one, a new one, last summer.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, they still sell them.
Oh, my gosh.
I feel a compelling need to buy one every now and again so that they don't say, well, nobody buys them and so on.
Well, I've had mine for 30... Well, let's see, last one I bought was when I was a senior in high school. I guess I'm telling my age here, but I graduated in 71.
Well, you're younger than me.
But I still have it in my purse, and I still use it now and then. But I do have a higher tech phone now, so I can make memo messages and that kind of thing. But I still love it. But I remember taking notes in college on a slate and stylus.
Yeah, you know what? I used to collect people's magazines and write in the magazines back, you know, starting from the back.
Right.
So that I wouldn't have to write on the, you know, press down on the previously brailled pages.
Oh, yeah.
So
I think I did that a few times myself, but then it looked so crappy. I know,
but you could really go like hell on it.
You could. Absolutely. But, oh, gosh, yes, I went through, you know, I went to college twice. I went from 71 to 74, then I dropped out, and my husband and I got married. And then I went back in the fall of 77 and finished up in 79.
Wow.
And I, you know, did the slate and stylus thing for, well, both college tries.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, it worked.
Yeah, I'm so old. I remember when cassette recorders were new technology.
Oh, same here. Absolutely, yeah. Well, you know, when I first started college, I got that... And we still have it. It's kind of, it doesn't work very well right now, but we got the Sony 105.
Oh, my gosh, don't tell me. The TC-105.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Oh, they were the best darn reel-to-reel recorders you would ever.
Oh, I know.
I mean, you could edit down to a fare-thee-well on those things.
They were wonderful.
Yeah.
And like I said, we still have it, but it would need a good lube job and that kind of thing to really get it going again.
That was a great recorder.
Yes, it sure was.
It in no way was portable, but man, was it a great recorder.
Oh, yeah, and it had that little cutie little beep button there in the middle. You could what's the word I'm trying to use?
Tone index.
Exactly. Tone index.
Yep.
And boy, did that thing work.
Yeah, we didn't know it was called tone indexing then. They hadn't come up with that word.
No, they hadn't.
And then you'd rewind it and you'd go, blah, blah, blah,
beep. Beep. Or you could do a double beep, beep.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it was great.
And then, well, in 78 when I went back, then I got the first generation of the APH Sony cassette deck.
Thing. Oh, you mean from the library?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, no, not the library.
Oh, you mean the four-track one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this was the first generation where you could record on all four sides.
Yes. Yeah.
And we have that one too.
And then I remember discovering that you could record in fast forward
so that you could label
things verbally.
Oh, I never knew that.
Of course, I broke my machine doing it, but
until
I broke it, it worked real good.
That's good. That's really good.
Yeah.
But I did want to just tell you that, you know, and I never learned about, you know, like the slate and stylus is backwards. Well, I figured that one out on my own. And I was never a super fast slate writer. I knew somebody who could probably, I mean, her slate and stylus technique was like, you know, mine was more like,
yeah, yeah.
But, you know, anyway, it worked. And, you know, it got me through college twice.
Yeah.
Well, so, you know, I guess that's the main thing.
I guess what I worry about is, you know, what are all these guys going to do when the batteries die?
I know it. Exactly.
And how are they going to write anything, you know?
Well, have you had anybody on lately as far as literacy, Braille is concerned?
No, but I need to.
I need
to do that.
Because, you know, these kids, they really need to learn Braille. It's not a by the way thing. It's something that should be taught as a necessity.
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't learn to read and write something, you're illiterate.
That's how I feel.
So, you know, I know ACB is doing their best, and I think NFB is doing their best. But yes, we somehow need to teach these younger people in our blind society how to read and write Braille. It's got to be done.
Yeah, and it's not an optional skill.
No.
It's a survival skill. I mean,
exactly.
You know,
your computer can crash. Your Plex Tech could take a dump and you're...
Yep.
Oh,
well, and you got to put labels on things.
Yep.
You know?
Now, how do they label things?
I don't know.
There's got to be a way.
Yeah.
But I sure as heck don't know it.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's got to be, you know, doggone, it's frustrating.
It is. Well, I'm going to elect you mayor.
Oh, right. Oh, by the way, there's a little town in our state of Michigan, a little town called Hillsdale, who has been elected at 18 years old.
I have seen that all over the place.
I don't know the guy's name, but I'd sure like to talk to him. I wish I had his know-for-all at 18,
yeah.
as he seems to have or whatever.
There's also a town in Wisconsin where a blind guy just got elected mayor, and I left him a message, but he didn't call me back, and so I need try to track him down again.
Oh, I was going to say, honey, you got to keep, after his.
Yeah. Get his little butt
number.
On this show.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be so cool.
Yeah, wouldn't that be cool?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right.
Well, Marlena, you take care.
Well, I will, and Marsha Moses from Michigan, you call Marlena anytime you want.
Well, thank you very much.
All right.
We'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Yep.
Well, that's about going to wrap it up for tonight. It's almost 58 minutes past the hour by my chronometer, and we never know when the internet gods are going to come in and pull the plug, as they are wont to do. Next week on the program, we'll have a very familiar voice, someone most of you know. Jonathan Mosen will be our guest, and God knows what we'll talk about. But we do know Jonathan, and we do know that we will talk about something. So join us after that. And following that, we're working on some programs of interest, a website to do some Christmas shopping where some very cool things might be found, and a lot of other cool stuff coming up. So you guys take care, and thanks so much for all your support of my ACB radio work. It means a lot.